Greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If there's something you'd like to talk about, a question you'd like to pose, this is a good opportunity right now. 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open. We'd love to hear from you on this edition. That number's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about being established in the faith, and once we know for sure that Christ loves us, once we know for sure that our sins have been forgiven, that we have a new identity in Christ, that we're new creatures in Christ, that Christ lives in us, once we know those things, then we start to see this life of Christ being expressed through us, and we begin to live our lives in a completely different way. John put it this way in his third letter. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. So we've learned the gospel, we've heard the gospel, we've believed the gospel. Now our lives are being pushed forward through the power of the gospel. We're walking in that truth. We're walking in God's unconditional love, and it just makes all the difference in the world. And that's what we want to help do in your life. We want to establish you in the faith and bring you to that point where you are walking in the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, today on Facebook, one of my friends posted a sign, a church sign, and it reads this: God's love is unconditional. That's true. Mm-hmm. And when we're walking in the truth, we're walking in that reality that God loves me unconditionally. There are no strings attached. Well, this sign doesn't communicate that. It says God's love is unconditional as long as you are obeying Christ. All right. Adds all kinds of strings to it. Well, if you believe that sign, you're not walking in truth.
No.
You haven't been established in the faith. You think, if you believe this sign, you think that if you blow it, that you have been separated. You've been cut off from the love of Christ. Well, the Bible is very clear. Nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate you from the love of Christ that is yours in Christ Jesus. So your sin cannot separate you from the love of God. Death cannot separate you from the love of God. Adverse circumstances cannot separate you from the love of God. You're attached to God's unconditional love, and he just loves you. There's no strings attached to that as far as conditions that he's putting on you. So if you're going to walk in truth, you're going to walk in the truth that God loves you, period, end of story. So when you read these signs, hopefully you have discernment to know that's not truth. That's wow. Not what the gospel teaches. It teaches something completely different, that God loves us unconditionally, and we get to experience that through faith in Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. That's the good news that you hear every day on Basic Gospel, and we're glad that you're here to hear it today. Again, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. The lines are wide open. We'd love for you to be a part of this edition, and want to remind you that if you don't have the basics down right, as we've been saying all this month, well, get the solid footing, the solid gospel. Well, you'll find that you're standing on shifting ground. And as believers, we really need to understand that we have become children of God, that we live by faith through by grace through faith, not obedience to the law, of course, and that by his Spirit, Jesus lives in us, and that his life guarantees our salvation. You hear it every day on Basic Gospel, just like you did on today's program. And I want to remind you that with your gift to Basic Gospel this month, you'll not only help to keep the good news coming, you'll also receive our brand new book, The Basic Gospel. It'll help you make sure that you have the basics down right and help others at the same time. Just click donate at basicgospel.net, or you can phone your gift to 844-322-2742. And of course, as I always say, that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742, or donate at basicgospel.net. Want to give that number just one more time, 844-322-2742. We want you to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel. Well, guys, we had a question from an anonymous writer that's about Well, says, how much longer can the human race continue in this sinful condition, and how do we witness when the institutional church is so weak and not paying any attention to God's gracious warnings?
It's a good question. I think a lot of people are asking that. We see it posted similar to that in the book of Revelation, where, you know, the saints of old underneath the altar are crying out, how long, Lord, how much longer until our blood is avenged? Well, God has a purpose, and he is being patient because he wants to save people. And so the longer he waits, that just means the more people who are going to be saved. And that's important to God. Death is not okay with God. He's not okay with people dying and experiencing eternal death. What he wants for us is eternal life. And that's why he sent Jesus. So Peter talked about that, about God's patience. And I think it's something that we really need to understand, that when God is being patient, it's for the good of others. So if God chooses to wait one more day or 1,000 more years, I'm going to rejoice with that, because I know in that time span, in that time frame, whatever it is, God is at work through his Holy Spirit, delivering the good news about Jesus around this planet, and people are going to hear and be saved and are going to be raised to walk in the newness of life. And that's wonderful, isn't it? That's
absolutely
wonderful to know. And that's why we need to be a part of that. We need to be patient with the Lord. And know that patience is going to mean something. And here's what Peter wrote: but do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. That's why the Lord's waiting, that more can reach that state of repentance and be made alive, fully alive in Christ Jesus.
I think he'll know when the time is right.
Yes.
Yeah, he will. Well, there's something here, and I'm glad you quoted the passage from Peter, because Peter asked a similar question once before, not exactly the same as this question, but very closely related to it. If you remember having the "Do you love me?" conversation with Jesus at the lake, and finally, you know, Peter notices John is walking along behind, kind of listening in, and Peter turns around and says, "Well, what about him?
What about him?
What about him?" And that's the question here. I look around the world, I see complete idiocy going on. But notice I'm not looking at myself and seeing the idiocy. I'm looking at the world and seeing that. And Jesus said to him, "Don't even pay any attention to him. What I have planned for him, I have planned for him. I want you to follow me." And that's what Peter learned, and then he could write that passage about God's patience, not wanting anyone to perish. That's the key. We've got to stop looking at the terrible shape this world is in and instead see people who Jesus loves.
Yeah.
Yes.
We've got to stop judging, because otherwise we're going to consign everybody to hell and sit down in our living rooms and say, "Well, I'm just a perfectly fine fellow," and God's going to knock on the door and say, "Get out here and come to work with me, would you?"
Yeah, we need to get off the judgment train and get on the grace train.
Yeah.
You know, God has already condemned sin and sinful man. He did that 2,000 years ago at the cross.
And wiped it out.
And God did not send Jesus into the world to judge the world, but to save the world. Let's be about that business. Let's make ourselves available to Jesus Christ to carry out his mission, that the mission of saving lost souls, of bringing life to those who were dead in sin. There's going to be a day of judgment. That's in God's hands. We don't have to we don't have to worry about that. In the meantime, let's be a part of his plan, his great rescue mission to bring life to the dead.
Yeah. We love hearing from you, our listeners, and you can use the email address, bob@basicgospel.net, to pose your question. Another good way is through the Basic Gospel app, and that's how Margaret chose to communicate with us this question. What can you tell me about John 3:7, you must be born again? All the books of John is directed to Israel. What applies to us is 2 Corinthians 5:17, written to new creation believers. Please give me your input on this, of course, on John 3:7.
Well, new birth is a part of the gospel story.
Yes.
That when we receive Jesus, we're born again of the Spirit. That Spirit, that dead Spirit, is regenerated. It's brought to life. And then it's joined to God's Holy Spirit. So there's a union. So it sounds like she's trying to make a distinction between new creation and what may happen to Jewish people at a later time in life, that they are going to experience some type of new birth. But it applies to us. So Peter wrote in his first letter that we've been born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that's what happens to every single believer. We're born again. And so this spiritual life that we now have is Christ's life. It's Christ living inside of us. If Christ isn't alive living inside of you, if you don't have the Spirit of God living inside of you, Paul said you don't belong to him. So it is the prerequisite for, everything as far as the gospel message is concerned. So we're born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so I don't think it's something that we need to try to separate or distinguish or say, yeah, this applies to this group or this applies to that group. The gospel is for all people. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, and we're all saved in exactly the same way, aren't we, Richard?
Yeah, we are. And I, if you stop and think about it, I mean, again, now here we get back to judging, if that's in fact what is happening. If you think about it, there are no words in any human language that can describe God himself in the form of the Holy Spirit taking up residence inside of me and not killing me. We don't have words for that. We can't describe the process. All we know is that Jesus said it happened, and many of the other Bible writers say it happens. Well, they all use different ways to describe it. Jesus used the form of being born again, and he said that to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus goes, "What? Born again? How can I do that? The biology doesn't work." And Jesus said, no, I'm talking about something that's spiritual. It begins to percolate in Nicodemus's head. Paul talks about new creation. Well, we know that Jesus spoke the world into existence. So when I become saved by that faith response and what Jesus has accomplished, he speaks me into existence again. Well, I'm still here physically, but something happened inside. And all of the Bible writers have to wrestle with that, and they do it in beautiful ways. So rather than trying to separate those Bible writers to figure out how it's different and how that difference might apply, why don't we look at the miracle they're describing and say, thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
The fact that God initiated that to the likes of us should put us on our knees.
Yes, indeed. So Paul put it this way in his letter to Titus. He says, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. This is the new birth process. This is being born again. So through the washing, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So that's Jesus saying you must be born again. Here Paul's explaining what that is. Peter explains it as well. John talks about the fact that we need to abide if Christ abides in us. So they're all kind of talking about what happens when we go from death to life in Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. We would love to hear from you. Still plenty of time on the clock, 844-322-2742. As a matter of fact, if you can get to do us while we're actually live on the air every day or each day, 844-322-2742 is a great way to communicate your question any time of day or night. We would love to address that on a soon coming edition of Basic Gospel. And guys, we had a question from Monty, and there was a lot of preface to his particular question, and he's in a bit of a disagreement with us insofar as the interpretation of 1 John 1:9, which of course there is a lot of conjecture about that. But anyway, I'm kind of cutting to the bottom line here. Monty says, using your language, if a believer is told that their past, present, and future sins are forgiven, then that person could easily presume that confession of sins is not necessary, since all their sins are forgiven as soon as they happen. So John could be writing to this precise person and saying that believers need to confess their sins, unless you are saying that believers do not need to confess their sins, which would seem to be contradicted by the verse Luke 11:4.
Well, confession is something that I've said time and time again is as natural to a believer as breathing is to a human being.
Yes.
If we're going to walk in truth, then we're going to readily be admitting and confessing, what our life is about at any given moment. We're going to be confessing that to God. We'll confess that one to another. And that's just part of being a Christian. That's just part of walking in truth, and there's a lot of healthy benefits to that, to speaking that truth. But forgiveness from God isn't one of them. Our forgiveness from God is not based on our confession of each and every sin. Our forgiveness from God is based on the blood of Jesus Christ. So without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Jesus Christ shed his blood. We receive Jesus. When we receive Jesus, we receive forgiveness of sins. Luke writes about that in the book of Acts. Anyone who receives Jesus Christ receives forgiveness of sins. I think that's Acts 10:43. That's Peter's sermon to Cornelius and his household. We see in Ephesians 1:7, that in him, in Christ, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of God's grace. So if we're in Christ, we have forgiveness of sins. We see in the book of Colossians that we've been made alive in Christ. All of our sins have been forgiven. I think that's Colossians 2:13-14. So if he says all of our sins have been forgiven, I think that means all. I don't think that means some of them. I don't think that means just past sins. I think that means all of our sins. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ was of such worth that it could take away all of our sins, not only mine, but everyone else's. I mean, that's just how big the blood of Jesus is. I mean, we get so riled up. It's like, how could my future sins be forgiven? Well, wait a minute. Look at the cross. He wasn't just thinking about you. Quit being so dang self-centered. His love was for the whole world. And man, he offered himself, and it was of such value that it satisfied God the Father on behalf of every single human being. So much so that Paul wrote that God is not counting our sins against us. Mm-hmm. We could go to any human being in the world and say, God has reconciled you unto himself in Christ, and guess what? He's not counting your sins against you. The sins you've committed in the past, the sins that you'll commit in the future. That's just this message of reconciliation. Why? Because Jesus shed his blood. Mm-hmm. And so we have to recognize that forgiveness, our forgiveness of sins, is tied to the blood of Jesus Christ. He laid down his life once for all sin so that we could be made perfect in his sight. So confession has nothing to do with that. No. But there are a thousand other reasons that confession is good and good for the soul and all of those things. But for forgiveness of sins isn't one of them. Richard, do you have some thoughts?
Well, I hear questions like this, and I know they're well-meaning. I used to wrestle with them myself. I finally had to come to a conclusion. If there was any aspect of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and resurrection that doesn't apply to everything I've ever done or will ever do, then his entire work was a waste of time.
Yes.
A complete waste of time. Why are we even sitting here talking about it if it wasn't sufficient? But his life, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension and return to us in the Holy Spirit is completely, utterly, totally complete. There is nothing for us to accomplish. There is a lot for us to learn. But nothing is on our backs to accomplish in the areas of forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life.
Yeah.
Nothing.
And one follow-up aspect of this, we need to put forgiveness and righteousness on the same coin, two
yes.
sides, but on the same coin.
Yeah.
So there's the forgiveness of sins. How do we know our sins have been forgiven? Because God has declared us righteous in the sight of God. So the righteousness of Christ has been given to us. Now, God would have never given us the righteousness of his Son if forgiveness of sins had not been accomplished.
Yes.
If there was just one sin left undealt with at the cross, then God would not have given us the righteousness of his Son. But the fact that we have been justified, that we have been declared righteous in God's sight, is proof from a legal standpoint, from an experiential standpoint, from any standpoint that you can imagine. The fact that we have been declared righteous is proof that all of our sins have been forgiven by the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Indeed. Well, shifting gears very quickly here, we had an email from an anonymous listener earlier this month, and that listener would like to hear a discussion of the thousand-year reign of Christ and the release of Satan during that time. So we've covered that before, but it's an interesting topic.
We have covered that before, you know, depending on your eschatological viewpoint. I got it.
Well said.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I just wanted to say that to prove that I could. But, you know, depending on your viewpoint there, some would say we're already in the thousand-year reign that happened at the ascension of Christ and that he's going to come back and you know, we're just going to be with him forever. The New Jerusalem is going to come down, and that's where we're going to be forever. Others look at it as a future event you know, it's on this timeline. We're going to have the rapture. We're going to have the seven-year tribulation, and then after that, Christ is going to set up his kingdom for 1,000 years and all of those sort of things. And certainly, you can read the book of Revelation and see a little bit of that that there. You know, from that viewpoint, I get kind of confused as to what that's going to look like and what it's going to be. All I know is that he's ruling and reigning right now in me and in his kingdom and his body, and that reign is going to be made visible at a time in the future. And there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that we need to fear.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, friends, I hope that's a help to you. If you have a question, you can drop it to us at bob@basicgospel.net, or you can call 844-322-2742 anytime, day or night, weekends, it doesn't matter. That number is available to you 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742. Friends, want to remind you also that we continue to make available this brand new book that we have, The Basic Gospel. I remind you that with your gift this month, you'll not only help to keep the good news coming, you'll also receive a copy of the book. It'll help you make sure that you have the basic gospel down, the basics of the foundation, the foundational basics of the faith, and be able to continue to grow and mature in the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and help others at the same time. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back at the same time tomorrow. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.